We just lift up this time to you. We know you are already here. We pray that we would tune into your frequency, God, that we would recognize and see you and connect to you, Lord, in a new and a fresh way today. We just pray for your spirit to be here, to inhabit our praise, to be in our worship, to be in our listening ears, to be in our soft hearts, God. And yeah, that you may be glorified. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please stand to join. We're going to start with one of my most favorite. It just is Psalm 23. Let's go, friend. Oh, and have you met the choir? Look at this. We have the community choir with us today. We are so lucky to have all these wonderful people. And just you wait. They're like butter. They're like butter. All right, let's do this, friends. Let's go. If you feel the spirit moving you to clap, stomp your feet, whatever it is, let's do it, friends. Here we go. When our lives are filled with questions and our souls all restless, you're our remedy. Hey, hey, hey. We will follow you regardless. We will sing your promise, heaven's melody. Oh, and it is so sweet when we're lost, when it's hard, when we're tired and the future's dark. Why should we fear when we know you're near? The Lord is our shepherd, he is always near. Though he leads through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear. The Lord is our shepherd, he will persevere. Though he leads through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear. Everybody sing, hallelujah, he never left us. Hallelujah, he never left us. Hallelujah, he never left us. So we will not fear. Hallelujah, he never left us. Hallelujah, he never left us. Hallelujah, you never left us, but we will not fear. When the world is filled with chaos and our hopes and dreams feel like a memory. We will rest in your protection. When our faith is tested, you're our covering, our justice and our peace. We may rise, we may fall, you're our strength through it all. Why should we fear when we know you're near? The Lord is our shepherd, he is always near. Though he leads through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear. For the Lord is our shepherd, he will persevere. Though he leads through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear. Everybody sing, hallelujah, he never left us. Hallelujah, he never left us. Hallelujah, he never left us. So we will not fear. Hallelujah, you never left us. Hey. Hallelujah, you never left us. Hallelujah, you never left us. So we will not fear. Let's do that second verse again, choir. Let's go. Verse 2. When the world is filled with chaos and our hopes and dreams feel like a memory. We will rest in your protection. When our faith is tested, you're our covering, our justice and our peace. We may rise, we may fall, you're our strength through it all. And why should we fear when we know you're near? The Lord is our shepherd, he is always near. Though he leads to the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear. The Lord is our
shepherd. We will persevere. Though we lead through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear.
Everybody sing!
Hallelujah, you never left us. Hallelujah, you never left us. Hallelujah, you never left us. So we will not fear. Hallelujah, you never left us. Hallelujah, you never left us. Hallelujah, you never left us. So we will not fear.
Everybody sing.
Hallelujah, you never left us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, you never left us.
Hallelujah,
you never left us. So we will not fear. Hallelujah, you never left us. Hallelujah, you never left us. Hallelujah, you never left us. So we will not.
Woo. That'll wake you up this morning. Beautiful.
Inside my mind, sing me the hope I cannot find. When my despair has left me blind, sing me the tune I left behind. Will you sing over me? Will you sing over me? Sing of the goodness I cannot see. Will you sing over me?
When all the grief pours through my hands, when I've forgotten who I am, can't feel anything but shame, sing out and give me back my name.
Will you sing over me? Will you sing over me? Sing of the goodness I cannot see. Will you sing over me?
Let's sing that again.
Will you sing over me? Will you sing over me? Sing of the goodness I cannot see. Will you sing
I cannot see.
Welcome, everybody. Please take a seat. Thank you. Thank you to everybody on stage just now. That was beautiful. My name is Matthew. I'm the lead pastor. So I want to welcome everybody here this morning. Thank you for being here. You may have been coming a long time to Cedar Ridge. You may have just started coming. Maybe even this is your first time here. We want everyone to feel really welcome. So welcome people online too. Thanks for joining us. A couple of simple ways to make a connection with us if you'd like to do that. No pressure to do it. But if you'd like to let us know that you're here or you'd like to get signed up on our mailing list so that you can find out more information about upcoming events and that kind of thing, just scan the QR code on the back of the seat in front of you. And that will take you to a Connect card where you can fill that out. And we'll follow up with an email to you. Another way you can do that is, you can do that online, by the way, as well. So you just go to our website. In the top right corner, there's a Connect drop-down menu. Just go hit that, and then you also get the same card that you can fill out. We'd love to hear from you too. If you're in the building right now, at the end of the service, we do something in that back corner over there called Cedar Ridge in 7 minutes. We'll remind you about that at the end of the service as well. Just an opportunity to find out a little bit more about our church, meet some people, just a couple of people at Max. It's all very low-key, and it's a great opportunity to ask questions as well if you have questions. So we'd love to address those if you have them. So please just make yourself feel at home. Let us know how we can help you. We tend to be, and that's very intentional, low pressure, right? Because so we don't want to hound people down, but we also don't want to seem standoffish. So, you know, let us know how we can help you connect, get connected if you'd like to do that. Okay, we're going to have a bit of a community update time this morning before we go into the message. And we're going to be hearing from various people about things going on in our community, exciting things, good things. One thing I wanted to let you know about is Community Sing. So we have a choral ensemble that will be singing on August the 30th. If you are interested in joining in with that, please just let us know. Again, a simple way to do that would be to go to the announcements page. We can go to our website for that, or you can scan the QR code on the back of the seat in front of you. Just go to announcements, and there's a link there where you can fill out a form to express interest. The simplest thing I would say to do today would be just chat with our pastor, Nikki. Where's Nikki? Here's Nikki. And you happen to be walking up. And did you want to say something else? Okay. She's just sneaking up behind me. Oh, is the mic? Is this better? Can you hear me okay now? Yeah. So just chat with Nikki after the service. And if you'd like to take part in that. And you may have other friends who don't necessarily come to Cedar Ridge who enjoy singing. You can invite them along as well. Okay, so it's the more the merrier. And that will be on August the 30th, the last Sunday of August. Can you believe it? Okay, we're going to get a couple of updates now. So I want to invite a couple of people, Amy and Athena from our Guatemala team, who are going to come up and give us a bit of an update of our work over there. Okay, we have one mic, so you're going to have to share. Okay, is that okay? Okay, I think we can give them a warmer welcome than that. Let's give them a warm welcome.
Thank you. This is on, right? Okay, good. I'm Amy. This is Athena. We have the joy of being the points of contact for our partnership in Guatemala, and we get to talk pretty regularly with our partners there. So we are excited to share just a few updates. They like to send us lots of pictures and videos throughout the weeks. So we just picked a few that we thought would be great for you guys to see. So as a reminder for those of you that maybe didn't hear our last update, we support several efforts there. Mostly surrounding education, but one special one is a solar panel effort that we are hopeful to light up all of Upala with solar panels. Our budget this year, we covered 30 solar panels. So that first picture, if we could go back just real quick, those are the recipients of the most recent solar panels. So they're all very thankful. Another project that we do or that we support is building kitchens. Are helping build kitchens in the schools. This allows the children there to have sometimes their only full nourishing meal for the day. We did one kitchen last year, and it was we got reports that it was a huge success. So we funded two more this year. So they sent pictures of this new kitchen being built. This one's actually finished now. And there's a little video they put together for us. So I think Greg is going to play that real quick.
Shut my hand. Oh, but sail. Oh, but tell you to run.
That's the kitchen. We're working on a third. So very excited to share that with you guys. And Athena is going to share about another project.
I am going to talk about something, but I just wanted to say that I think for probably all of us who were able to go on the trip last summer, a definite highlight was getting to serve a meal out of the first kitchen that we had completed. So it's really, really a special part of what we're doing. So I want to talk about another project that we support, which is providing students with school supplies. So each student that we help receives their own bag, and in the bag is this letter, which just tells a little bit about who we are and wishes them a good school year. And it's from Cedar Ridge and our partner organization, Acedar, that we work with down there. And if you can go to the next tier, we have a couple of photos of students with their bags. It's hard to see, but they each have their own bag of supplies. Here's another school. And then we have a couple of videos, but I just wanted to share that recently we've been able to increase the number of schools that we're supporting with supplies from 2 to 5. So that's a big accomplishment. And you can go ahead and play those videos.
Adios.
So, Cedar Ridge. That's it. our team, we have several members of our team here. We're all wearing our green shirts, except for one member who likes to not follow the rules. So if you see a very tall man out in the lobby, make sure you go talk to him. Anyway, we're all here after the service. If you would like to chat with us about our experience last summer, and we are excited about planning a trip for next summer. So thank you guys.
Thanks, Tom. So interestingly, so that's a connection we have a long way away in, or relatively long distance away in Guatemala. And there we are trying to help schools with practicalities like school supplies. And you may have read it in an email that went out on Friday that we're also doing that locally with the schools that we support locally. And we're collecting backpacks for back to school time. So Brianna, where is Brianna? Brianna's going to come up and share this a little bit about that. Let's welcome Brianna.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Brianna Teller. I'm the director of Cedar Ridge Kids. And I also do the also help with our partnership in with our local partnership with several schools. It started out with Greencastle Elementary, but it's actually expanded to Greencastle Elementary, New Hampshire Estates Elementary, and Oakview Elementary Schools. And we do that through a program called Linkages to Learning. And just this past week, they reached out to us and said, hey, we're sorry, it's really short notice, but the people who were helping us with our backpacks for Oakview Elementary School fell through. Can you guys help? And I was like, yes, we can. So we put together a quick backpack drive. We need 26 backpacks, and that's broken up over third, fourth, and fifth grade. In the email that went out on Friday is a link to sign up and what specific supplies we'll need. Or in the lobby are supply lists and a list of different things you would need for each grade. What's really important though is because we only need like specific supplies for different grades, that if you'd like to participate, that you just register, I'm going to bring a third grade or fourth grade or fifth grade backpack, just so we can keep track. If we get a little extra, it's probably okay because I know they'll use it. Or if you're one of those people who are like, I want to help, but I just don't have time to go school supply shopping. We also are going to try and fill the gap for anything we don't get. So we're also collecting donations to let us at the back end go and fill in anything that's missing. So we would greatly appreciate it. I will be in the lobby after the service over. There's a display right out front on the left-hand side with all the information. I'll be right there. If you have any questions, you can drop them off during the week here or bring them with you next Sunday and drop them off. And we will take them up on the 24th. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Brianna. Okay, I after hearing about all those really exciting things, I am now going to talk a little bit about money, which I picked the short straw this morning. Maybe we could put that slide up, Greg. Yeah, so we're coming up to the end of our financial year. You know, we run our financial year from September 1st to August 31st. So we're coming up, you know, we've just got a few more weeks to go. And we are a bit behind on our goal for the year. So now, you know, we're running along a little over, well, sort of mid-80s%, which, you know, my kids always say to me, well, you know, 85% in an exam is pretty good going. That's which is great, but it does mean we are behind financially. You can see that with the net figure there of about 128,000. Now, we have previously many times made up those deficits. Okay, so I just wanted to share a couple of things about our approach here to money and I guess to life in general. One of those things is I mentioned this earlier, we want to be low pressure, right? We don't want to use guilt or force or manipulation to get people to give money. I was reflecting as we were hearing from our members talking about Guatemala and schools. We don't use sort of big razzmatazz fundraising goals for fancy pants new ideas and that kind of thing. And we new ideas are great, but really our giving is around faithfulness and the long haul. So we've been committed to our partners in Guatemala for getting on for 17 years now, you know, in terms of when those relationships first started. To the local schools, certainly to Greencastle School, which is the most local one to us of the ones we support, it's over 20 years. So we're just faithfully committed to those people. And that means we need faithful commitments of money. We don't need, sudden huge inpourings of money for a big project. We're just being faithful over the long haul. And I think that's a characteristic of our community as a whole. And our community is incredibly faithful. And we together, and I say we because that's, you know, I'm part of this as well in terms of giving, we have accomplished incredible things through faithfulness and doing that over the long haul. So the first thing I want to say is thank you. Thank you for faithfulness this year. You know, we're not, if you think about it, we've given way much more already than we still need to go. So thank you so much for doing that. And we know that means sacrifice. It means sacrifice for all of us. There's other things we could be spending that money on. We realize that. So thank you. I think it's a measure of how much we love our community. The other thing I want to say about money is that certainly as a staff, as a board, as volunteers here, we are very frugal. We're very careful with our money. I can say that as the lead pastor, you know, I get to see our finances and how we spend our money, and I'm responsible for how we spend our money to a large degree. And we are very, very careful. You probably noticed, especially in the last year or so, we've got a lot more donations of equipment. We've worked hard to renew things without spending money. We cut back when giving goes down a little bit. So we're not just spending recklessly. We're tracking that with the amount of money and amount of cash we have in the bank, right? So I just want to assure you of that. So really, we just need to dig deep. I think partly because we don't put too much pressure on about money, we don't talk about it probably as much as we should, and I'll own that. We should probably talk about it a bit more. So it often means we get a little bit behind because we all kind of forget. And usually we end up, you know, at Christmas time, we'll do it again this year, I'm sure. We have a big push, you know, that calendar year end, and we usually have a big push at the end of our financial year. So this is sort of not new territory for us. So just want to give you some insight into that, the nature of the situation. We obviously, as a community, have a lot of expenses. We do a lot of things. We've just been hearing about some of those. We have a 63-acre property that needs taking care of. And I think we take care of it pretty well. We have historic buildings that we're required to take care of. It's kind of a service to the local community. And we do that well. We
we're taking care of business. So we've got those overheads. We have the ways we're investing. You know, we're going to be investing more money in our partner schools this year, which is important. So we want to finish this year as strong as we can, so we can go into next year being able to do all the things that we're planning to do, right? And continuing many of these ministries that we've been talking about this morning. So I just want to ask you to prayerfully, without pressure, but just for you as a follower of Jesus in this community, to really dig deep this season, these last few weeks of this month, of this year, and give generously. Please do whatever you can in that regard. I'm just going to pray just briefly for a moment, and then we'll break to greet one another and let the kids out. Let's just pray. Lord, we're so grateful to be part of this community, and we don't take that for granted one bit, to be part of a community that is challenging us and supporting us and encouraging us to be the best version of ourselves we can be as followers of you. So we just pray for these practical issues, that you would stir us, give us wisdom as we manage our own finances, and think about our own responsibilities in that regard to the ones who we're responsible for and that we love, and our responsibility to the community here that we love to. Give us wisdom and compassion and courage as we manage that part of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you, everybody. We're going to let the kids head out now. So elementary ages are going to go over through those doors and preschoolers through these doors. And then before Lockie comes up and speaks to us, let's just take a few minutes to greet one another, turn around, say hello to somebody, feel free to walk around. Let's make sure that everybody feels welcome here and meet somebody new, perhaps.
All right, I'm going to give you 60 seconds to engage and finish your conversation. All right, I'm counting down. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, goodness. Well, hi, everybody. If I haven't seen you up close, my name's Nikki. If we haven't met yet, I get to be one of your pastors here. Happy about that. Thanks. Guys, your check's in the mail. Really glad that you're here. If this is your first time to Cedar Ridge, welcome. We hope you come back and hope you have a fantastic experience. So before we get into our awesome message today, I decided to tell you a story. So many of you know, if you're new, you don't know this, but I started working here in January. But before then, I had been here. I started coming in November just to come as a person who lives 15 minutes away. And so that's how I found the church and started coming. And I remember, I don't know if it was the first Sunday that I was here or the second Sunday that I was here, but I met some really lovely people, like on week two, which was so awesome. I mean, I met some people on week one too, just so you know. But on week two, started to meet more people. And I think I may have told you all this before, but I think Ginger and John might have been some of the first people I met. My first week here, I met a guy named Kevin here, tall guy with glasses. I met him week one. Y'all know who I'm talking about. I'm still learning people's names, so Kevin's last name. But then I'm pretty sure that the second Sunday I was here, that I met this extraordinary person named Rocky. And I just remember kindness and presence and beauty, just like a sense of beauty. And I felt so welcomed here. And so this morning, we get to hear from my third friend here, from Rocky. But I wanted you all to know, and you all have probably experienced her as well. Anybody else experienced Rocky? Oh, Rocky, just take a look. Just take a look. Please keep your hands up. Okay, good. Okay, you got it. But so you guys know what I'm talking about. But I'm really excited. When we put asks out for God in the movies back in June, I think. June, right? And I got 12 no's. 12. And Rocky was one of four beautiful people that said yes. And so I am so delighted to receive from her. I know you probably are too, but I would like to welcome Rocky Cornett Cruz.
Thank you. Oh, I'm on. Thank you. Now I know I'm going to knock this over. So I can't stand still. So let me just, but I promise I'll stay in the light, Kevin. I'll try. I wrote down this quote the other night while listening to a conversation between Nadia Boltzweber and Kelly Corrigan. Nadia said, "God is already present in the future we're afraid of." That's an easy thing to forget and kind of an eerily comforting thing to remember, isn't it? Good morning. I'm Rocky Cornett Cruz. My husband, Freddie, who's not here this morning, and I have been a part of Cedar Ridge since 2019, and we were delighted to become members in the spring of 2025. So I guess that's not really that long compared to a lot of y'all, but at this point, I can hardly imagine life without this community. Our kiddo Esther is 5 and about to move up with the elementary kids this fall. She's a big fan of running around this room after service, lighting candles, and scrounging leftover communion. When I was asked to consider participating in God in the Movies this summer, I thought, when was the last time I actually watched films with any regularity? My goal for the last several years has mostly been to keep the television set off. Not naming names, but the reason is approximately 40 pounds and may have a tinge of purple grape juice around her mouth come 11:30 a.m. But thanks to a fabulous summer camp, I was able to spend some time reviewing a movie from nearly 20 years ago that stuck with me called The Visitor. It was directed by Tom McCarthy and came out in 2007. It features Richard Jenkins, who plays a primary role, especially at the beginning. But as it goes on and new characters weave in, Zainab, played by Danai Gurira, Tarek, played by Haz Slamon, and Muna, played by Hiyam Abbas, it becomes increasingly difficult to distinguish whose story is at the forefront. They all begin to intermingle and influence one another. And that's why I chose this film, because I think there's something important for us in that. I also chose The Visitor because I love independent films. Some of you have mentioned to me that it's probably an indie film. Most of you all probably only recognize one of those actors' names I just read off. Same. But I was glad to discover some of these other actors and their talent. If any of you research the premise of this film ahead of time, it might surprise you to hear that it still manages to include a fair amount of humor into the story. I'm not sure I could have presented a movie that didn't, because laughter is one of my favorite stabilizers. And I'm talking about The Visitor today because I think it can help us consider how God often identifies and meets our needs in surprising ways. So the guy on the film cover, Walter Vail, is a widower and an economics professor at a local college in Connecticut. He's also trying to learn to play the piano, as we'll see in a minute, and as the story unfolds, it becomes clearer what his motivation for that learning is. Let's watch the first clip.
Today, huh?
Yes.
I'm Barbara Watson.
Yes, come in.
Thank you.
May I take your coat?
No, thank you.
Would you like something to drink?
No. Shall we get started?
Okay.
Let's try it again.
The same thing?
Yes. And remember, fingers curved like a tunnel.
Okay.
Make room for the train.
What?
It's something I tell my kids. If the fingers are curved like this, then there's room for the train to pass through the tunnel. Thank you. Next Tuesday then, same time?
No, I don't think I'm going to continue with our lessons.
No. You're giving up?
No.
Oh. Okay. Well. Goodbye. Mr. Vail, may I ask, how many teachers have you had before me?
Four.
Well, for what it's worth, learning an instrument at your age is difficult, especially if you don't possess a natural gift for it. I'm not saying this to be mean, but if you do decide to give up, I'd really like to buy your piano.
Okay.
Each stage's experience is really exceptional because the conditions there that made trade liberalization the Middle East successful were present in the developing countries. Yes.
Hey. Come in.
Thank you. Sorry it's late.
Why is it late?
I had some personal issues to deal with.
I'm sorry, but I can't accept it now.
I mean, I really had a...
I'm sorry.
You know, you still haven't given us the syllabus yet.
I know. Yeah. Hello, Walter.
Hey, Charles.
You got a sec?
Sure.
Walter, Shelley can't make it down to the NYU conference to present your paper. I'm going to need you to cover for her.
Why can't she go?
She's been put on bed rest till she has the baby.
I wish I could, but now's not a good time, Charles.
Well, I understand, but you co-authored the paper and the dean wants it presented. He wants to keep Shelley on track for tenure.
I just don't think I can with the start of classes in my book.
You're only teaching one class, Walter.
So I can stay focused on my book. Charles, I would really rather not go.
I'm sorry, but there really isn't another option at this point.
Charles, the truth is, this is really Shelley's paper. I just agreed to co-author it because she asked me to. I'm not really prepared to present it.
Look, Walter, you can take it up with the dean if you want, but as your friend, I wouldn't advise it, not with that argument.
Make room for the train. I feel like that could make an amusing piece of arcane art. Maybe t-shirts or mugs, water bottle stickers. If you know, you know. All right, let's have some observations. Who wants to say what they noticed about Walter in this first clip? Grumpy. Yeah, inflexible. Jim. Lonely, isolated, sad, yeah. Stubborn. Yeah, I wrote down he's flat, joyless, clearly grieving. He's grumpy. He's rigid, unmotivated. He's reticent about change or going out of his comfort zone. He's evasive. He's lonely. Somebody else said that, yeah. While it was really challenging to choose just a few short clips, I made sure to keep this one because I think it's so illustrative of where Walter is before his world gets a nice little shake. He's clearly expending what energy he can muster to avoid being pushed into unfamiliar circumstances or to bend at all on behalf of anyone else's. I don't know about you all, but I've been there. Sometimes I just want to stay there when I'm tired or when the unknown feels too ominous. It can feel really risky to trust people or to trust the process. I'm prone to convince myself that if I manage everything, the unknown will not exist. Then I end up becoming more and more grumpy, rigid, evasive, unmotivated, and lonely. To me, it's obvious that Walter is hurting and he's lost touch with joy and purpose. Is this slide? I'm going to do the reverse now. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That's Ezekiel 36:26. The verse up on the screen is a popular one in some other realms of Christianity where I've spent some time, most of my formative years, actually. For a lot of time, based on what I was being taught and how, it felt like it referenced this invasive thing that God was going to do to make us better and more workable. That every hard thing that happened was part of God's tough love, breaking us down and building us back up. But I included it here because most days now, it's getting easier for me to think of it as more of a promise. That in the things that keep happening one after the next, my heart won't become stone. It will become softened. Because maybe that is what God does for us, not to us. I couldn't include the clip of the next sequence because it would have been too time consuming and it had some language, threats of violence, you know. but I gathered some stills to help me talk about it. As much as Walter tried to avoid it, he was made to go to New York City to present his colleague's paper at the conference. Turns out he has an apartment in the city. Here he is entering the building. Then, as he enters his apartment and looks around, Walter begins to have a sense that possibly someone is there. There are some things stacked by the door. There's a vase of flowers on the coffee table. As he walks down the narrow hall, there's a light coming out from under the bathroom door. So without saying anything, he opens it. Fringe! Walter finds a woman, we later learn is named Zainab, in the bathtub. In the film, she does what anyone would do if they were having a nice evening soak and a stranger just opened the bathroom door and walked in. After an admitted fumble, Walter does his best amidst his surprise. He shuts the bathroom door. He calls through it to say he won't hurt her, asks her why she's in his apartment. She yells that they have been renting it and that her boyfriend will be home any minute. Tarek, Zainab's boyfriend, does arrive and confronts Walter quite aggressively, asking him if he's hurt Zainab. Things get pretty charged, understandably. It takes a few minutes for everyone to get the story straight. Turns out a swindler has rented the apartment to the couple because he knows it stands empty most of the time. Walter assures them that it is his apartment, but that he lives in Connecticut. They say they will pack up and leave. Zainab is clearly angry at Tarek for making a faulty arrangement with his friend, and she's shouting at him in French. They're frantically packing, arguing, and trying to figure out what to do. At one point, Zainab says to Tarek in English that Walter has probably called the police. Tarek asks Walter in a panic if he did and is relieved to learn that he has not. Zainab and Tarek are out on the sidewalk with their belongings. Tarek is making phone calls and trying to arrange a place for them to stay. Meanwhile, Walter is inside pouring a glass of wine and trying to mellow after all the excitement, but he can't seem to relax and starts pacing around the apartment. He notices a framed photo of them they left behind and looks out the window at them down on the sidewalk. Ultimately, Walter goes down to give them the photo they'd forgotten. Perhaps against his better judgment, he asks them if they have a place to stay. They half-heartedly say they'll stay with a friend. In the film, the next scene shows them all back in the apartment and Tarek thanking Walter for letting them stay for a couple of days. So things have already gotten pretty interesting, and Walter hasn't even presented the paper at the conference yet. The first time I watched this movie, I thought, what would it actually be like to arrive at your second home and find someone living there? Who could have blamed Walter if he had chosen not to invite this couple to come back inside? Over the next few days, these new acquaintances all go about their lives. Walter attends the conference he came for in the first place. Tarek, who is a drummer, plays some gigs. And Zainab sells her jewelry at a table in the city. One evening, Zainab and Tarek invite Walter to join them for dinner. Afterward, they're about to leave for one of Tarek's gigs, and he invites Walter to join them. Zainab is not a fan of this idea and shoots one of her many fabulously glaring side eyes. If you do end up watching this whole film, I hope you'll enjoy her facial expressions as I did. Anyway, initially, Walter declines, but then changes his mind at the last second. In terms of the story, this is the beginning of Walter having fun, going outside his comfort zone a little bit. One day, not too long after attending the gig, Walter returns to the apartment and thinks it's empty, so he sits down at Tarek's djembe drum in the living room and starts playing it tentatively. Tarek finds him playing and ends up giving him lessons. It's interesting how different Walter seems to feel learning the drum with Tarek than he did with the piano lessons he was pursuing back in Connecticut. As the story goes on, we learn Walter's deceased wife was a concert pianist, which is likely why Walter wanted to learn to play the piano. As their friendship begins, Tarek invites Walter to walk around town with him, visit Zainab at her jewelry table, and ultimately to attend a drum circle in the park. It isn't long before Walter works up the courage to join the circle and play. Walter's getting comfortable. We're a long way from make room for the train. Tarek and Walter are buzzed up to the drum circle, and they're walking back together to take Zainab to pick up a new table for her jewelry. They're late. In the subway station, Tarek has trouble moving through the turnstile with his djembe, so he climbs over it. He's accused of not paying to enter the subway and arrested, even though Walter vouches for him that he did pay. Walter returns to the apartment alone and informs Zainab, who immediately knows what will come next. Ultimately, Tarek is detained. As Walter struggles to understand the situation, he hires an immigration lawyer and begins visiting Tarek daily at the detainment facility. Walter checks in with Tarek, asks him some immigration-related questions on behalf of the lawyer, brings a letter from Zainab and holds it up against the glass for Tarek to read, and he looks away. It's so sweet, such a sweet moment that I couldn't show, but he gives him the privacy to react to the letter. On another visit, as they're talking through the glass, Tarek asks Walter if he's been practicing his drumming. Then he basically begs Walter to drum with him right there in the detention center. And Walter does. They play together to lift Tarek's spirits, but Walter is relishing the experience as well. I hope, even in these stills, it can be seen that Walter's whole affect and perspective have shifted greatly. If you watch the movie, you'll notice he keeps deferring his work obligations in favor of supporting Tarek and Zainab, and probably also because this all feels so much more real to him than his life back in Connecticut. So to recap, Walter has befriended the couple living in his apartment. Tarek has begun teaching Walter to play the djembe. Walter starts having fun. On the way back from a drum circle, Tarek is arrested and then detained. Walter stays in the city more and more, avoiding work obligations. Zainab moves out of the apartment in Tarek's absence. Then Tarek's mother shows up from Michigan looking for her son because she's been unable to reach him. She actually ends up living at the apartment for a while. It's funny how in the beginning of the story, there's this tension around who belongs in the apartment and who it belongs to. And over time, it sort of transforms into this landing point that's available to whomever needs to be there. So Muna, Tarek's mother, has requested to see the place where Tarek is being held. Walter takes her to a nearby cafe, which is the safest option. Over the next few days, Walter and Muna become friends and also meet with the immigration lawyer together. Now it's time for a meet and greet. Let's watch the second clip.
Which one is she?
One clip, let's do it.
A black one? Mm-hmm. That is them? Mm-hmm. Very black.
Zainab.
Hi, Walter.
Zainab, this is Muna Khalil, Tarek's mother.
Hello, Zainab.
Oh, a pleasure to meet you, and Khalil.
You too.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were coming.
Neither did I. Your jewelry is very nice.
Oh, thank you.
Do you think we can go out for a cup of tea sometime?
We could go right now. I'm just watching Zev's table, but I just need to find someone.
Hey.
Bye. It's all handmade.
Ooh. I lived here for 2 years, and I was in France for a year before that.
So you really come?
Yes, sometimes. But I don't want to live there. You miss Syria?
Sometimes too. I miss Damascus.
Yes, ma'am. But this is my home now. When did you meet Walter?
Walter? 10 days ago.
10 days? That's all?
Yeah.
How did you meet him?
Through Tarek's friend, Ivan. That's how we ended up living there.
You lived there too?
Just for a little while.
Oh.
So, have you spoken to Tarek?
Yes. He called me this morning. He sounded in a good spirit.
I was so afraid this was going to happen. Tarek used to tease me that I worry too much. Now, I just don't know what to do. I miss him so much. I'm sorry.
Then, I'd like you to do something for me. I'd like you to show me something you and Tarek like to do, somewhere you like to go.
Like what?
Whatever you like.
Okay. Okay. Which one is she?
It hit me right between the eyes when Zainab confided, I don't know what to do. What's so special about Muna's response to this new person in her world is that she gives Zainab something to do. It doesn't change the circumstances, but it does a lot in spite of them. In the next scene, the three of them go on the Staten Island ferry together, and Zainab shares stories about Tarek's silliness and what a fun person he is. The decision to take that outing together really meets needs for all of them, and it honors Tarek in his absence. Walter is continually choosing to build these new friendships and allowing his work persona to fade into the background. He looks quite different from the clip at the beginning, doesn't he? Who would have thought he'd be covering a jewelry table in the city? It's interesting, these connections never would have happened if Walter hadn't been forced to go to New York, if Zainab and Tarek hadn't been swindled. Muna never would have come to New York if Tarek had not been detained. Ultimately, though, the three of these characters are caring for one another during such a difficult and frightening time. Each one of them is benefiting from these connections, even as they are reeling. It becomes more and more murky. Who is the true benefactor? Because that's what happens, right? So often when we meet needs, ours are met in the midst of that. And I think that's how God means for it to be, and it's part of that promise of softening. This community at Cedar Ridge has meant more to me than I could or should articulate fully here. But I will say that folks have gone out of their way continually. Lots of y'all have warmly invited us to join in or given us tasks to help us belong, or met us at really inopportune times because that was when the schedule would fit. This place is full of really creative thinkers, givers, and doers, and lots of folks who are comfortable with discomfort of all varieties in favor of service and love. In the film, the closer these four become, the more chance there is for misunderstandings and hurts to happen. I'm betting most of us can relate to that hard truth. For example, Tarek loses his patience with Walter during a conversation in the detention center at one point. Later, Walter kind of zings Muna one evening at dinner when she asks about the work on his book, basically because he's ashamed, but he cuts her down to protect himself. And it takes him a while to look that dead on. But eventually he gets around to it and thankfully shares that with Muna. Let's watch the last clip.
Muna, I'm taking a leave of absence the rest of the semester.
Wait, why?
Well, I thought I might spend some more time in New York.
Walter, you don't have to do this. You see.
I want to.
You have to be in Connecticut. You have your teaching, your books.
It's fine, really.
This is not your problem, Walter. It's okay that you're busy.
I'm not busy. Not at all. The truth is, I haven't done any real work in a very long time.
You just presented your paper at the conference.
No, I didn't even write it. I just read it. I've been teaching the same course for 20 years, and it doesn't mean anything to me. None of it does. I pretend. I pretend that I'm busy, that I'm working, that I'm sorry.
Don't be. I really appreciate you giving me this. What would you do if you didn't teach?
I don't know.
It's kind of exciting not to know.
So I'm thinking back to the Victor we were introduced to in the first clip. And now here's this person who's willing to be so vulnerable in admitting his own truth. His whole perspective has shifted and he's entirely reorienting. I think that can happen when we're open to letting go of our concept of how things should be. And I think it happens when we're more focused on being in community and advocacy than in ensuring our own comfort. As Muna said, it's kind of exciting. I chose the message for this passage. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourselves aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. So to close, I'll just say I love this movie because for me, it's inspiring to watch Walter find a renewed sense of purpose in the last place he would have imagined. Also, I'm so glad he discovers a musical expression that fits much better than the piano did, even if it's not connecting him to his late wife in the way he'd envisioned. It seems like music is a way for Walter to process his grief and eventually a way to access joy and belonging. It's a representation of his growth and healing process throughout the film. The Visitor doesn't shy away from the reality that hard times will always come around for all of us. As an indie film, it doesn't tie everything up in a nice bow, and none of the characters end up as a new couple by the end. I won't ruin the story for you in case some of you do decide to watch the whole thing. But I think it also serves as a reminder to allow ourselves to be open to the possibility that things might unfold in a better way than we could imagine, even if all of the circumstances still are not resolved or improved. Going back to the quote I shared at the beginning, maybe it's an opportunity to think about what it means for God to be present in what we're afraid of. I won't attempt to offer clarity on that because I think it's different for everyone. I think this story also illustrates that to allow ourselves to be cared for is as crucial as providing care to others. Isn't it often the case that love and help are mutually beneficial? We're not meant to do things alone or to control every aspect of our existence, as tempting as that may seem, for me at least. We're meant for true community, and we all have it in us to become the parts that make the whole. Is that good news or what? The wonderfully astute and bold Rachel Held Evans, who passed away far too early in 2019, said this: Imagine if every church became a place where everyone is safe, but no one is comfortable. Imagine if every church became a place where we told the truth. We might just create sanctuary. So now we'll move into a time of communion. One of my favorite things about the way this community does communion is that it is an opportunity for folks to love on each other and meet each other where they are. Frequently, I notice that folks convene and embrace or pray with one another or check in or just hold silence together. Everyone can make it what they need it to be, warm and informal or more solitary and reflective. There are three stations set up around this room, each with a tray of gluten-free crackers and another of grape juice. If and when you feel ready, please make your way to one of these stations. Communion is for everyone here who wishes to partake. And we also have candles to light in the back if you'd like. And I've noticed that the corner for lament is on this corner now, if anybody's looking for it. Thank you.
Oh.
I let out the sails of my heart. Here I am, here you are. I let out the sails of my heart. Here I am, here you are. Join us. I let out the sails of my heart. Oh, here I am, here you are. I let out the sails of my heart. Oh, here I am, here you are. I let out the sails of my heart. Oh, here I am. Sails of my heart. Oh, here I am, here you are. Oh, I let out the sails of my heart. Oh, here I am, here you are. I let out the sails of my heart. Oh, here I.
Our service, let's just take a moment to reflect and quieten our hearts in terms of what's happened today during the service for us. Lord, we just want to open ourselves to you and we're all going out now. We're all going into the future. And as Rocky shared with us, you are there already. And Lord, we pray that we would take into that future your love, your presence, whatever you've given us in this moment, whether that's a challenge or an encouragement or just a sense of peace and presence with us, no matter what happens, no matter what lays ahead. So empower us, we pray, as we follow you, as we follow you into that future, into all its beauty and all its danger and all its unpredictability. We know we can't control it, but we can flow into it in you and with you in us. We pray that, knowing that you love us and are for us. Amen. Okay, thank you, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Just a couple of things before we go. If you remember, Cedar Ridge in 7 minutes is in the back corner there. So we'd love to chat with you, meet with you if you want to meet somebody or just have some questions, want to find out more. Remember, the Guatemala team are going to be in the lobby. So connect with them if you have questions or want to find out more information. Also, the backpack, information about the backpacks and bringing those back next week is all on the lobby in the table in the lobby. So do check that out. You can grab a card and take it with you with all the information on it. Why don't we just stand together one last time and we're going to say this benediction. That's the movie we'll have next week to round off our God in the Movies series about time. And let's say this benediction together before we leave. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant us the peace to live in harmony with one another in accord with the character of Jesus. And may we commune together with one voice to glorify God. Amen. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for coming.